Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
Well, hello, 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 everyone. It's so great to have you here today on the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show. We are so glad that you are taking the time to just come be here with us today. We have a great guest today, Charlotte Rains Dixon. I'm so excited about talking with her about birthing your bodacious, bewitching book. And I want to say hello to Louisa, who's in the chat room, who's my fabulous assistant, and Elizabeth, who is here with me today, my wonderful producer. Hello, Elizabeth. Elizabeth? Am I
sorry.
On?
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay, good. I just panicked because I got booted off. You know,
sorry,
my phone died, and then I had to call back in while the intro was going on. So I was like, okay, wait. I just want to make sure I'm here.
I was muted. You are so here.
Oh, good. All right. I do want to do a blessing before we bring on Charlotte, because that is one of the things about being a divine intuitive and having a spiritual entrepreneur business, and that is to really ground yourself in each item that you're doing, everything that you're doing, bringing the divine in, stating your intention, and co-creating with the divine each piece of your business. And so let's just take a nice deep breath in together, create our space together, this sacred, beautiful space that we are here creating with one another, with the listeners, with those who are listening now and those who are listening later. And we say thank you so much for this opportunity to share, to come together, to commune with one another, to understand a little better how we can be that beautiful, pure expression of the divine in this world by connecting with one another, by staying connected to our own understanding of spirit, of the universal energies, of God, of the divine. We are so grateful for this opportunity to be here now to share with one another, to connect with one another, and so we say thank you, and so it is. So I want to introduce Charlotte today. Charlotte, I've known her for about a year and a half. Charlotte was in my Divine Business Club. We had a fabulous time. We've had some amazing conversations. She is an author of numerous books. She's a freelance journalist and ghostwriter. She's a writing teacher and author, of course. She mentors creative writers from passionate to, well, whatever. What it could possibly be published, right? You go from passionate, you have a passionate idea, and then you just take it into the actual manifestation of published, which is so cool. Yes. She's earned her MFA in creative writing from Spalding University. She's the author of a dozen books. The chick knows what she's talking about, okay? Let's just say that, right? Hey, Charlotte. And you can blog at charlotterainsdixon.com. So, all right. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about you being here.
Me too.
We're going to have so much fun because, you know, every spiritual entrepreneur I know of, first of all, you have to write. period. Mm-hmm. If you want to get your work out in the world, you got to write, period, right?
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you absolutely must.
Say it again.
You absolutely must write, whether you're writing a book or website content, a blog post. There, you know, we live in an information society today, and to be any kind of entrepreneur, you have to be comfortable with getting words on the page.
Yes. Yes, and actually what's really interesting that I discovered, I remember on my own journey in getting comfortable with this, was learning what my voice was and giving myself permission to have that voice. Would you say that that's one of the big challenges that you face with people, like helping them discover what their own natural voice is, what their, not necessarily their message, but the way in which they say their message?
I think that's a really good point that you bring up. Sometimes when people approach writing, whether it's a blog post or they're trying to write a book or they're trying to write a letter to the editor, who knows what it might be, they stiffen up. They just immediately freak out at the thought of putting words on the page. And I don't know where this comes from, but a lot of people have it. I think it may come from, you know, having our knuckles wrapped when we're in first grade or, whatever. You know what the EFT, how those things lodge inside of you.
Oh, yeah.
Think about
for years, you're graded on your work. You're graded
right.
on that wasn't good enough. Your creativity was, you know, or you're very creative, but, you know, your language was sucked or whatever, you know, right?
Right. And when you think about all the years that we have internalized that, it's no wonder that you freeze up when you look at the computer screen or when you pick up a pen and start wanting to write. And I do find that a lot of people, they might have great technical writing skills, but everything just sounds so canned, you know, so white bread, as we say. I mean, it just sounds, and I think sometimes, particularly in business, people tend to think that there is a quote-unquote right way to write. I have to sound a certain way. I have to sound professional.
I have to be professional. Like, what?
Right.
And nobody
right.
wants to be professional. I mean,
people
not really. No, that's not true.
Voice.
That's not true. But nobody wants to be stilted.
No. And the thing is, I think what happens is that people confuse parts of the writing process. There's a writing process, and if you can remember the writing process, it makes life a lot easier.
Okay, I want to hear, what is the writing process?
The writing process, very simply, you're going to like this. When you first sit down to write, your job is to write, and excuse me, but a shitty first draft. Wonderful writer named Anne Lamott popularized that term.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for using that language on your radio show, but it's sort of
I don't care. It's fine. We have potty mouth here. It's fine. Go for it.
Okay, good. But your job is just to, I call it glump words on the page.
Okay.
You're just sitting there as wild and free. You're throwing crap at the page, literally. You are not worrying about what it sounds like or if it's professional or if you put the comma in the right place. You're just getting your ideas out there. You're just like, bleh, you know, you're vomiting on the page. And
you're seeing me, aren't you? Like putting the comma in the right spot, man. I'm so anal about that.
Well, you can
but
be anal
about
it. That's the good news. You can be anal about it. But that's like the second or third step of the process. So you just have to make sure you don't confuse those two times.
Right.
And I think that's what happens to a lot of people. They're approaching their first draft of their blog post, and the memory of the first grade teacher with the red ink comes back, and they're like, I didn't put the comma in the right place, you know. And then consequently, they never get any words on the page to begin with. So if you can just let yourself go, and a really good way to do that is to set a timer. Set a timer and say, okay, I am just going to write for 20 minutes. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to sound good. Just write for 20 minutes. And then what I tell people to do is go back through and either underline the good stuff, highlight the good stuff, cross out the bad stuff, because you may have 2 pages of crap and 2 sentences that are great, and then you at least have a starting point. And the other thing that happens is that this kind of writing drives you down into your subconscious. It drives you down into your heart, and you may get one sentence that finally says what you've been wanting to say for months and haven't been able to figure out because you've turned the critic off. You've turned the left brain that's looking for those commas off. And then you have a bunch of crap, but then you get to go back and shape it and fix it and make sure that it's complete sentences and all that fun editing and rewriting stuff. But that's a really, really good way. Another thing that you can do that is helpful at this stage, like I know a lot of people, myself included, struggle to talk about or / write about their own products, their own services. I mean, I can sell like crazy if it's somebody else's work. You know, I'm out there talking to people. I can write about it. I mean, I'm just all over it. Like, you know, if you asked me to write for you, I would be just like, oh, Reverend Ann has these great programs, and it would not be any problem at all. But when it comes to talking about myself and my own stuff, you know, in person I start stammering and I do these same equivalent on the page. You know, I'm like, and I think we often have that when we start to describe our beloved products and services.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you can do is just pretend you're telling a friend about it, you know, only write it on the page. Pretend you're writing an email to a friend. Oh, I have this great idea for a product. Here's what it is. Blah, 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 blah. And that really gets you into your authentic voice as opposed to the correct, professional, boring voice. Gets us back around to what you originally asked about, you know, how people struggle with their own, getting their own self on the page.
Can I ask a question about, like, I think that like telling stories is so important in writing, like whether it's a case study of a, for example, you know, my client got this or a client, and whether you're speaking it or whether you are, you know, writing it in your article, whatever, stories bring home the point. So I would love personally to get a little bit of some suggestions on how to stimulate some of the stories or even how to frame some of the stories so that when someone, you know, reads it, they're finding themselves more engaged in the writing itself because they're like, oh, that's me, you know, oh, I get that. Like
right.
When you said that about the comment on the comma, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's I got it, right? So,
right.
Yeah, how can you create better stories? You're a story writer, so you know how to write stories and structure them.
I do.
So
I do.
How to create stories in your professional writing, like not professional, excuse me. Let me back that up. In your, you know, web writing or your articles that you send out. That's a much smaller story. You know, it's like a paragraph story,
right.
not a
novel
story.
Well, number one, I totally agree with you that telling stories is really important. We are hardwired to learn through stories. And it goes back to the days of caveman when we were, the earliest primitive humans and we stood around the campfire and told stories about our great hunting experience that day, whatever. The women probably told stories about all the roots they gathered. I mean, I don't know, but you know, we have been telling stories for millennia, and it is absolutely hardwired into us as human beings. And any time that you can present information in the form of a story, you're going to resonate with your reader, your potential client, whomever, a lot quicker and a lot more deeply. And it can be daunting to think, how am I going to turn this into a story? How do I make this sort of everyday event or whatever into a story? Well, I have one tip that hopefully will help you, and that is to remember that all stories start with conflict. If you don't have conflict, you don't have a story.
Give an example of that.
Okay, a mystery, I'm looking on the broad scale. A mystery starts with a death. That's the conflict. There's some kind of tension. Something is amiss. Most novels, short stories, any fiction that you read, if people that are listening read a lot of novels, there's always an inciting incident where something goes wrong that you have to then write in the world.
Okay, wait. Let's bring it back to this audience, which is spiritual.
Because
writing an article. So what would the conflict be for?
Well, if you're doing a story, likely, like you were talking about case studies, for instance. So in a case study, you have a client, and why does your client come to you? Your client doesn't come to you because she is happy and perfectly content with where her business is, or
she wants help, right?
Yeah, she wants help. What is her problem? What is her wound? What is the reason that she is coming to you for your help? That is the conflict. And you, when you're approaching writing a story, particularly a case study, you can start with that, and in order for you to write it and frame it. Start with the conflict. My business isn't making as much money as I would like it to. I don't know how to increase my financial abundance. So you may not, when you ultimately write the piece, write the article, that may not be at the top, but once you identify the conflict, then I think it's fairly easy for you to then say, okay, this was a case study. This woman came to me. She wasn't making enough money. I helped her do this and this and this, and now she's making $1 million a year, whatever. But there's sort of steps like that. Once you can identify the conflict, then you can tell the story from there. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, yes. It makes perfect sense. So you always start with a conflict,
yes.
And then you go into, because I'm thinking paragraph, right? So you start
right.
with maybe two paragraphs at the most. You start with a conflict, and then you go into the resolution, or you go into how, you go into what you did and then how she is now?
Yes. So you could think of it as, say, one paragraph, the conflict. One paragraph, let's not even call it the resolution, let's call it the process, for lack of a better word, that's not coming to me immediately. So, these are the things that we did, and then you have a paragraph that is the result or the resolution. So it's a three-step process. I'm using the word process too much, but... A three-step system. How about that?
Yes. No, and I think that's really great. That's really great.
Well, hopefully that helps people. I mean, at least it gives you a starting framework.
Yes.
And one of the things that I see, people don't know where to start. And if you don't know where to start, or you don't know what you're doing, or you don't know what you're going to write about, then it's really hard to get any words on the page. Excuse me.
You're perfect. Thank you. Because that brought up yet another piece, and I know we're going to talk about a book in just a moment, but right now let's... writing is so important, and people really frozen on what to write every week or in their e-zine or in their blogs, and blogging is not even just every week. It's like 3 times a week or 5 times a week or whatever it is, that's
right.
Committed to doing, right? So I have a little technique that I have my clients do, and I'm curious to know, do you have something that you would care to share? And I'm happy to share what I have my clients do, which will start up the blogging ideas or the easing ideas, the article ideas, whatever. But I'm wondering, do you have something that you give to people to do to, you know, get that going, you know, to sort of stimulate the, get the
ideas
going
right
about?
Well, number one, I recommend that everybody maintain a list of ideas.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes, yes. And you'd be surprised how many people don't. And this is for business writers. It's for anybody who wants to write anything. You need to keep a list of ideas because you got to have somewhere to go when you start out. And ideas can be anything. I mean, you can walk, like yesterday I was walking and I saw an artichoke with a beautiful purple flower. And I don't know why that just occurred to me now, but that could be an idea because the spikiness of the flower could remind you of something in business. You know what I'm saying? The
yes,
obstacles
I
in
do.
Business. I mean, don't censor yourself. Just
right.
write down, take pictures, whatever. Just have an idea. But, well, keeping a journal, I really recommend that people journal. It's a wonderful tool, not just for writers. It's a wonderful tool for entrepreneurs to keep yourself focused, to not only keep yourself focused, but to keep yourself expanding so that you can keep writing and keep, you know, bringing in new business ideas. I'd highly recommend journaling. You know, I love doing morning pages. I don't know if you're familiar with Julia Cameron's morning pages.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that's a valuable tool for generating ideas. I have gotten so many ideas in morning pages. And the thing that's really important is to, you know, you're by journaling or doing morning pages, writing regularly, you're maintaining that flow with your subconscious, which, you know, I happen to think is also the divine. I mean, it's all wrapped up there together. And so when you have regular access to that flow, the ideas are going to come.
Let's explain morning pages to people who haven't heard of them so that they know what you're talking about.
Okay, good idea. Julia Cameron wrote a book called The Artist's Way. I think it's 20 years old now. Hmm. As far as I'm concerned, it is still the seminal book on creativity. Nobody has ever topped it. It's a wonderful book. If you have any interest in creativity or writing, and I mean creativity as it is expressed in business, get the book and go through it. It's got a lot of wonderful exercises, and just it will change the way you look at the world, and it will change the way that you look at creativity. And one of her bedrock techniques that she wants everybody to do is something called morning pages. And morning pages are very simple. They are writing 3 pages. She insists that you do it by hand first thing in the morning when you get up. Now, I always allow myself to get some coffee. I don't do anything without my coffee. But
girl, after my own heart.
Gotta have my caffeine. So anyway, you get your coffee or your tea, and then you take your journal and you just write 3 pages. And again, it's what I was talking about earlier. You don't censor yourself. This is more like a journal entry. It's not like you're trying to do any directed writing. What I often find with morning pages is I start out grousing about the weather or whatever, and pretty soon I'm writing a blog post. You know, pretty soon I'm like, oh, this is a sales piece. This is that sales piece I've been wanting to put together. Getting the ideas for it. So it can be really useful. I think morning pages, because you're doing them in the morning, before you're wide awake, again, it has that more direct line to the subconscious and to the divine.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that's really important, whether you're journaling or free writing or doing morning pages, go back through and pull out the ideas and maintain a list. So you have the list of those ideas, and then if you're out walking and you see the purple artichoke, you're like, oh, wow, okay, click. You know, the more ideas you have, the more things you have on the list. I always say it's like bunnies breeding, you know, like rabbits breeding. You close your book and all the ideas get together and breed more ideas while you're off doing something else.
That's
really important. And, you know, you never know how things are going to come together, and suddenly you're like, oh, okay, that's that article.
That's so funny. I took Julia Cameron's, I took a class with that, I don't know, some years ago. I don't want to say 6-7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Billy did transform things. Now, I was already a journal writer anyway myself. I have a whole shelf in my office of all my journals from the last, I don't know, 15 years when I really started getting into journal writing. But I've got stuff from when my daughter was a baby, for goodness sake.
Wow.
You know, writing. I know, right? How cool is that?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's like a whole lifetime of stuff.
Yeah.
I loved her morning pages, and I really got out of the habit of it, I got to tell you. I do have a business. I have these little books that I buy, and I write down all of my ideas, and I go through them all the time and, you know, keep them, like you're talking about, keep them listed, organized, so that I don't drop the ideas. I bring them up to, you know, if I haven't implemented it, I keep it going, keep it alive, if I think it's still a good idea. So I have those journals, and I think they're really, really valuable. I agree that handwriting is so incredibly valuable. It acts as
it really is.
Your brain being in a computer doesn't.
You know, the other thing that I have had some success with is keeping a book where you just ask. Like one of my coaches from a long time ago used to do this. She just had this little tiny book. I'm like, on the left-hand side of the page, she would say, dear God or dear whomever, I need an idea for my next class. Please send me one. You know, and then she would just leave the blank page and close it. And she would wait for the idea to come. And you know what? It always did.
I love that. What a great idea.
Wasn't that a great idea? Just a little God book. I think she called it her God book. You know, she was talking to God, and she would just ask. I know. I really like that. And you can do that.
Let's go back, because I do want to get to the book, Birthing Your Bodacious book, right? But I want to also, because I had posted that, let's see, how do I say it? Because I had said I was going to give the idea on how to come up with ideas. I have two. One is, one thing that I do, and I do keep a file just like you're talking about, I will, when I see someone's blog post or something like that inspires me, I will make a copy of their title, and I keep titles in a file so that when I
like
get
that.
Stuck, I will go to an idea like that, and I'll just then redo it for my own and get my own, you know, but I will use it as sort of a stimulating, you know, stimulating my own creativity. And
that's a great idea.
Attention to what my clients are talking about, what questions they're asking or what challenges they're having, and I will write about that. Like today's article is totally in my e-zine about bright shiny object syndrome, is totally about because I have a lot of my clients and other people that are potential clients in some of the Facebook groups that I administer are dealing with some of this, and so I'm seeing it showing up. So guess what? That's an article.
That's where you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the big
suggestion that I got years ago, which I thought was brilliant, was to write down 50 beliefs that I have about my business, like divinely intuitive business, right? So what are my beliefs about why divinely intuitive business, or why is intuition so important? Why does it make a difference? Or why does it make a difference being intuitive in your business? And writing down 50 beliefs about that, like, well, I think you get access to the divine. I think you get when you have that connection, you then recognize that connection in other people, and they feel it. When you have that connection, you see how you get the ideas on what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
You make mistakes in your business and waste a lot of time because you're being divinely guided rather than ego-guided, right, at least most of the time.
I mean, obviously.
But anyway, so I wrote all those down, and guess what? Those are titles for articles, or not titles,
yeah.
but they're ideas for articles. They were ideas
yeah.
for what to, you know, to write about for a blog post or whatever, or even just things, questions to ask people.
That's a great idea. That's a wonderful way to do it.
From who you are, so it lends itself to helping you get your own natural voice. Now, I know that there's a lot of development, et cetera, but even still, it helps you with your message, and it helps you with ideas for writing about things that you actually feel passionate about. So you're not coming from a should, you're coming from a who you are, your own connection.
I love that. That's really helpful. I think that would be really helpful to people. Another thing that occurs to me in the world of copywriting, like a professional copywriter, which is a complete and total art unto itself. I have done some, obviously, but, you know, if you are a big-time copywriter, I mean, you well know how special that field is. You know, it sounds like, oh, copywriting, no big deal. It is a really big deal. But what they do is, and I can't remember if they call it a swap file, a swag file, or a snitch file. There's some specific word for it.
Oh, they call it
what is it?
Got my own. Yes, it's a swipe file. You swipe
file.
The,
yeah.
Oh, I totally have swipe files. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do a swipe file for my emails. Like if I get a sales letter that I think is really great or an email. Like you said, if you could bookmark, you could have a whole bookmark swipe file when you're on a page and there's a great blog post. The thing is, I mean, this is kind of one of those funny little paradox things. People think, oh, if I copy somebody, then I won't have my original voice. But like you said, you go to a blog post and you're like, oh, I really like the title of that. When you write about that, it comes out completely different than the next person.
Totally.
I mean, we could have 10 people in a room and say, okay, here's the title. We're all going to write to that. And it would be 10 completely and totally different things. So don't be afraid to use other written material, wherever it comes from, as inspiration.
Absolutely. And you won't. The truth is, you won't. I mean, definitely don't copy. But use it as a model or use it as your inspiration, as you say. I mean, swipe files are so important because if you're starting from scratch every single time, you're just going to – that is so much work. But if someone else has a model of how they of the flow of a sales page or the flow of an opt-in or a flow of, you know, a program, for example, it's a brilliant idea to have. And you like their writing, it's a really good idea. I always tell people, find the little phrases that you like and keep a copy, keep a list of those phrases because – you know, some people really resonate. I have one client who really resonates with the word enriched. Well, it's not something I resonate with. I resonate with words like inspired and divine and connected and stuff like that.
Right.
But her people resonate with the word enriched, and she has those phrases and her own phrases that work for her. And I think it's just a really great idea to have your own, this is yet another conversation, you know, your own list of keywords
yes.
or your own list of what words you like to use in your own business to help you find your voice, right?
Yes, and I also think it is very important to listen to your clients. I mean, I love what you were just saying because you can listen to the verbiage and the way that your clients put words together. What are the keywords that your clients are using? Like sometimes, you know, my clients might say, I'm blocked. You know, they don't use the word stalled. They don't use the word I'm stuck. They use the word I'm blocked.
Right.
You know, because it's such a thing. Or you know, I can't think of any other examples off the top of my head, but when you are writing, that's why it's so important to keep lists. I'm always saying keep lists, because you're going to, when you sit down and you're trying to write a sales page, you want to be talking in the language that your client is going to receive easily. And if you don't have that list, you may be using the word enrich when your client really wants to use the word inspire, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a piece of gold, guys. I mean, this call is just so full of gold. Oh, my goodness, it's so full of gold. That is a piece of gold, yeah.
It's really helpful.
So that we don't run out of time, let's fulfill on the promise, which is birthing your bodacious, bewitching book. Right? Like, how do you do that? Because that's like, oh, my God, such a big project, right?
It is a big project. It can be a big project. Well, books, a full-length book can run anywhere from 150 pages to 300 pages. And I'm talking about the kind of book that an entrepreneur would write.
Mm-hmm.
The first point is it probably doesn't have to be as long as you think it does. So quit thinking in terms of 300 pages and let's stop it down to 150 pages. This is a whole other discussion, but let me just throw in real quick and then get back to the book. You know, nowadays you can do very short e-books, put them up on Kindle. The thing is, there are a lot of options for links these days. So it doesn't have to be, you know, 350-page book, which I think in the past were sometimes padded. So let's not worry about, you know, how long it is. The thing is, when you sit down to the computer and you're like, okay, I'm going to write a 150-page book now, it's like, no wonder you're like, because who can hold that in their head? You know, you're like, oh, my God, how am I going to do this?
Yes.
So you have to stop it down. And the funny thing about writing a book is it's sort of a back-and-forth process, and you have to go from the big picture, which is your whole book, to the little picture, the tiny, mini picture, which is the sentence you're writing at this very moment now. And you kind of have to go back and forth. You have to pull back and look up, and then you have to go back down. But for the most part, you are going to be working in the little picture. You're going to be working one word at a time, one sentence at a time, which we forget. It's like, oh, I've got to write 150 pages. Ah. Well, you get those 150 pages one word at a time.
Mm.
And going back to what we talked about earlier, how important it is to have a place to go on your writing project. You know, if you just sit down and say, I'm going to write a book, you're like, yeah, right, what are you going to write a book about? You have no idea, no clue. But if you have some kind of a structure, I'm big on starting out with structure.
Mm-hmm.
Have some kind of a structure going in, you at least, like you were saying earlier, you have a framework. You have a framework of a sales page for your book. You have a framework, a loose outline, as I like to call it, because some people also hear the word outline or structure, and that makes them freeze up because they think they have to write the old outline from when we were kids where you had a Roman numeral and then every subtopic had to be, you know, there had to be three subtopics, and then, you know, I can't remember how it all went.
Oh, I do know, yes.
Yeah.
Hang on one second. I think we want to open the lines for anybody who wants to call in and ask you questions. And Elizabeth, just hold your thought, okay? Elizabeth, you want to go for it?
Hi, yes, if anyone would like to call in and ask Reverend Ann and Charlotte about how to birth a bodacious, bewitching book, and they can call in on 646-668-2211. I'm going to write that in the chat room, and also on Skype by clicking the little Skype logo. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth. I appreciate that. And you'll interrupt us or let us know if someone calls in about it, you know, with a question, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Going back to the outline and then Roman numerals
right.
and number one and the A and the B and the C and all that.
Right. Well, we're gonna ditch all that.
Thank you.
It's gonna be a loose outline, and by loose, like a list. You know, whatever works for you.
Right.
A list. Something, what I like to call this is you're going to be chunk as in like a chunk of something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're going to be chunking your subject down. And so you have your big subject, you know, say you have entrepreneur, you know, business. I mean, my God, how many subjects could you get under that?
Yeah.
So what I like to tell people, here's the first thing you do. Again, I'm going to recommend that you sit down and write because, and I recommend this over and over and over again because so much comes out in the writing. And then if you get stuck, write. And do that writing where you set a timer and you're just writing and you're not stopping. When you want to approach your book and you want to approach even the outline of it, start by writing. You can write for half an hour and write down every single thing that you've ever thought that you want to write about in this book. And if most I find that most people who come to me wanting to write a book have a pretty good idea of what they want that book to be about. They have a lot inside of them. People sometimes have been thinking about this for years or months or, you know, and it's there. It just needs to be pulled out. It needs to be pulled out and gotten onto the page. And once you do a free write like that, then you can go back and pull out a list. And, it, you know, the first time you pull out the list, just pull it out. Don't worry about order or properness or, you know, any of that.
Can I interrupt for a second? Because what I'm hearing you say is you sit down and you decide what the book is going to be about and really, in essence, what are the main points?
Yes.
Be correct?
Yes.
Yeah, what are these main points? What is the message that I really, really, really want to get across in this book? And that you create that first, and that becomes your loose outline because once you write it, then you have to, of course, go through and, you know, say, okay, is that, you know, sleep on it, and then you come back, I don't really care about that, you know, or that can be covered under
the exactly.
And that's how you create your sort of outline.
Yes, and so you have your main points, and sometimes I hesitate even to use words like that because in my own work with clients, I know where people freeze up.
Gotcha.
You know, main points. Oh, my God, I could have main points.
Got it. I don't freeze up because I do outlines all the time for every class that I teach, every teleseminar that I do, everything. I always do outlines because that keeps me on track with points, et cetera. So I don't have an issue with that, but I get that a lot of people writing do have an issue with that.
Right.
All of that. I get it. Yeah.
So, but since we've gone through that, we'll refer to them as main points.
Okay. And then with each of the main
points. We'll refer to them.
right.
So with each main point,
then do you make bullet points, like, or other minor points? Main points?
Yes,
points,
minor points. Or topics and subtopics. I mean, whatever. So main points and minor points. Because if you have your main point, so maybe your main point is, writing, whatever, and then your minor points are how to get words on the page, what makes a chapter, I mean, whatever. So after you've made your list of main points, you go through and, again, you can just do it fast, almost like brainstorming. You know, everybody's been in a brainstorming environment. Think of this as brainstorming on paper.
Right.
Make your minor points, as we're calling them, and then guess what? Your minor point, every minor point is a writing prompt. Every minor point is what you put at the top of your page and start writing.
Mm.
You've got it all right there. You know exactly where you're going. You can open up your computer tomorrow and say, okay, working on minor point number one, I'm going to write as fast as I can and get everything down on the page, and then I'm going to go back and edit it and rewrite it and, look at the paragraphs and say, oh, this paragraph goes up here and this one should go down here. And, you know, again, you build a book one chunk at a time, one word at a time, one sentence at a time, but we could even say one minor point at a time. And, you write a paragraph and another paragraph and paragraph, and that becomes a whole minor point, and pretty soon you've got 50 of your minor points together, and you've got 150 pages.
Yes. So I want to share just, and this is a little aside, but it's a really important aside. As you were talking a few minutes ago about creating this, there was a hawk that flew onto the branch of the tree right outside my window. And
oh, wow.
Physical meaning of hawk, and this is for everybody here listening, so if this resonates with you, just know that the meaning and the totem came for you as well. And hawk is all about, he's a messenger of the spirit world. It's about using the power of focus and being able to see from a high perspective. It's being able to see long range, because they're able to find their prey from far, far above, right? And they're able to catch their prey unsuspectingly. So it's like, and this is not about you guys going out and catching your prey. They're being able to create this book, seeing it from a high perspective, being able to use the power of focus, and being that they're also about this very strong, very powerful connection with spirit and having a very high increased awareness of spirit. So just know that the totem of hawk is very powerful, and oftentimes hawks also have their talons are protected from, for example, if they if they capture a snake, for example, the snake cannot bite them on the talons because they are protected. So whatever you do, it's about protection as well. Vision, focus, connection, and protection. So
that is wonderful.
Cool, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that's the first time it's ever happened on the radio show. So,
that's
yay.
So cool. That's so cool. Can I say something about focus really quick? Because that kept popping up for me when you were talking about the hawk, and I love that image of the hawk above everything and looking down. I have a couple of really good tricks for focus that I have had to learn myself, because I am so easily distracted, bright, shiny object syndrome, and I get really distracted by the internet. So a couple of things. Number one, I do writing sprints. And this is a thing you'll see people doing on Twitter. They'll say, I'm going to go in and do a sprint now. So a writing sprint can be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, whatever. I like to do 30-minute sprints. And so you turn a timer on. You can use your phone if you won't get distracted by phone calls or texts, but turn a timer on, and for the next 30 minutes, all you are going to do is write. You're not going to go check email. You're not, whatever. You get a text, you're not going to answer it. And then at the end of 30 minutes, you get up and walk around, which is really good for you when you sit all day. Anyway, you get up and walk around and, take a break, go get some coffee, get some water, whatever. Come back, set the timer again. It doesn't sound like much, but if you can put together even two or three of those sprints, man, you will get so much writing done. It's just amazing. The power of focus is so amazing.
Yes.
It really is.
Okay,
The other thing that goes along with that is this wonderful little program that you can download for $10 called Freedom, and Freedom enables you to turn off the internet for as long as you tell it to. So a little box pops up, and you say, I want it off for 30 minutes. You cannot access the internet. So it's really, really helpful.
Oh, my goodness. Freedom, huh? Freedom.com?
Freedom. I don't know what the – I'll have to look. Let me see if I can find it while we're talking.
Really funny.
Yeah, I know it is.
Just even the idea of it is like, woo, what? So funny, the reaction. Okay, so we do have a question, and that is do you recommend going straight to Kindle for those people who, if you'd get a book out, at least then, going at least on Kindle, do you recommend having, because I see, and I download people's books on Kindle all the time. I'm sure you're
on
Kindle as well. So do you recommend doing that as opposed to going sort of the publishing route, like doing a self-publishing route like that, at least?
Oh, man, we could have a whole other hour-long conversation just on the current state of publishing, which is kind of crazy, as I'm sure you know. Mm-hmm. I do highly recommend getting a Kindle book out. It is easy to do. you probably want to find somebody to format your book for you, particularly if you have bullet points and graphs and pictures. It's possible to do it yourself, but it's a little tricky. Kindle is, I know people have issues with Amazon. I can see both sides of the story. Amazon really, truly does give a lot of tools to writers. Once you have your book done, you can release it on Kindle. You get your own author page for free. It's like having your own web page. Once your book starts selling, they'll help you promote it.
Wow.
You know, a lot of tools to promote it. Like you can set the price for free for up to 5 days. If you sell with them exclusively, you can do a Kindle countdown.
During launch, right? Yeah.
They do all kinds of things that will help you find your readers. I recommend that you start, if you're going to go the self-publishing route, and for most entrepreneurs, I think it's probably the way you want to go.
Okay.
I recommend you start with the Kindle book and, you know, get the ebook out there, and then depending on how you feel, you can format a regular book as well.
Okay, and let me just say this about Kindle, and I don't know how you feel about this, but when I go looking for a book on Kindle kind of thing, don't do something that's like 40 pages or 30 pages. I mean, don't do that to people. Do a real book.
Right.
You know, give them
right.
some. I have bought some, and I'm like, seriously, that's it? Really? And it just
I know.
Hours
I
to with the person, you just like, you know, forget it. So
if you are going to do a short book, I mean, there could be times when you wanted to do a short book. Maybe you wanted to do a short book on, say, focus. I would be very, very clear in the book's description saying, this is a short book that will tell you everything you need to know, you know.
Because you feel, I mean, even if you spend $3, I know that seems so silly, but even if you spend $3 and you get something, it's like, really? You know, like, really?
I have had that experience,
you know?
So I do agree. Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this question then about Kindle, because one of my clients actually just recently asked me this. Is it true that Amazon, maybe I shouldn't even ask this here, but is it true that Amazon asks you to sign a release of your, you have to sign over your copyright to them or something? Is that it?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. No.
I didn't think so. I was like, I can't imagine anybody would do that. You know,
I was going to say, nobody would have their books up there if they
right? Exactly.
So you maintain your copyrights. You can pull it at any time. You know, you can put it on other book sites.
Okay.
If you do have it on a bunch of other book sites, even if you have a PDF on your blog, you can't do a lot of their Kindle Select tools that I've been talking about. So there are pros and cons.
Yeah, they just want you to format it in a certain way and all of that so that it fits within their whole thing. Yeah, okay, fine.
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah,
I was,
no.
What? And I asked somebody else who has a Kindle book, a Kindle bestseller, and she was like, I don't think so. I just signed whatever they said, asked me to sign. I'm like, all right, well, that didn't help. All right, tell us about your gift. Tell us about your gift because we're running out of time. I want to make sure you have time to share about your gift.
Yes, well, I have a mini book. It is not a long book, I will tell you right now. It's only a few pages.
Have your book. I think your book is fabulous.
Thank you.
Your mini book.
It's called, my mini book. It's called Jumpstart Your Book with a Vision Board, The Secret to Banishing Writer's Block. And I don't know about you, but I love doing vision boards. And what a really fun thing to do is do a vision board specifically for your book.
Nice.
You know, you can do a lot of the things that we've talked about. You can do free writing and you can do all kinds of things. But mostly you're going to be gathering images and, you know, you can go through magazines. You can go through Google Images. I mean, I talk all about that in the book. And you could actually use the techniques in this book not only for a book but for a website, for whatever. It's just using a vision board for a very specific writing project.
I love that.
So hopefully that will help people in their endeavor to write a book.
Yes, and we all know that what you focus upon and what you envision like that will you will create. So go get her free offering. I'm curious, do you have a teaching class on how to get your book out on Kindle?
I do not, because it is technical, and I am way more on the creative side.
Yeah, but you can teach them how to write it, right? You just start teaching them how to actually do it. But you can give resources on how to.
Resources.
Right.
You
give other stuff that you're teaching a lot of people on. So.
Yes.
Okay.
If anybody has any questions, tell them to email me. I'm happy to answer anything they might want to know.
Okay. To be able to get her Charlotte's Jumpstart Your Book with a Vision Board, go to http://tinyurl.com/visionboardjumpstart. Vision Board Jumpstart. Okay? So, all right, Charlotte, thank you so much. I mean, this has been so incredible. We are, how amazing is it to get the goal that you've given us on how to discover your voice, how to get your book written, how to figure out what to write, and how to, you know, like not judge yourself when you're doing your crafts, right? And to inspiration on getting your Kindle book out. I mean, that it really is that just do it, right? Would you say just do it?
I would say just do it. I hate co-opting that phrase, but I don't hate it. But just do it. Just do it. Get words on the page. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Get your book out there.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate. Just glump it out there.
Yes.
And thank you so much for having me.
All right. So everyone, nice deep breath. You are here to bring your work into the world in a powerful, beautiful, effective way. You are here walking on this earth to be that pure expression of the divine, sharing your genius, your experiences, your magic with those around you. It's much easier than you expect it to be, much easier than you think it would be. You decide that is what I'm here to do, and go do it. Just do it, because you are always led, you are always connected, you are always, always, always shown the way in how to do this. You decide, you connect, and then go do it. And so it is. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. Get your divine on, everyone. We'll see you next week. Bye.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.